Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Thursday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column and podcast episode sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy our show. This story was first published on May 9th of 2011 under the headline Hermit of the Craggies Went from Acorns and Roots to Prison Food. Here we go. Robert Fance had come to the Illinois River prepared to die, which he did, but not quite the way he'd thought he might. Fance had a degenerative lung disease, probably tuberculosis. So in the early 1930s, he and his wife bought a meadowland farm, deep in the heart of what today is the Rogue River Wilderness area, from the man who'd homesteaded it several dozen years before. And they settled in, hoping that the clean southwest Oregon air would help him beat his illness. The Fance's new home, the Fance Ranch, was very remote. The nearest community was Agnes, an unincorporated jumping-off place that had sprung up to mark the end of the Rogue River mailboat line, with a population of just a few dozen. The nearest neighbor, an old trapper who lived right across the river, was not entirely sane. Really, it wasn't old Hugo Meyer's fault that he was nuts. In the early 1920s, the government had started building a bridge across the Rogue River in Agnes, where the Illinois River runs into the Rogue. Meyer was working on the bridge job one day when another worker dropped a wrench and it hit Meyer on the head, doing enough damage to require that his skull be reinforced with a steel plate. And after that, he was never quite the same. Hugo Meyer was born in Germany in 1884 and came to America when he was 20 years old. Within a couple years of his arrival, he was on the West Coast and prospecting for gold. With a partner, he delved deep into the wildest and most remote part of Oregon, the mountains along the Rogue River, known as the Craggies, in search of color. In 1906, he decided to settle down on a homestead. So he emerged from the wilderness and spent a summer working in Crescent City, California, putting together enough money for the filing fee, then plunged back into the Craggies and set up housekeeping beside the Illinois River, where a prospector had already built and abandoned a little shack. He moved in and cleared a little garden next to the shack, and there he lived for 27 years. Meyer was a sharp fellow. He invented a technique for crossing the river that was like a cross between a zip line and a pogo stick. Here's how it worked. He secured a cable across the river, good and tight, secured to something very solid. Then he took a beefy plank and cut a channel in one end so that it would hook over the cable and secured a cross piece through the bottom. Standing on the crosspiece and holding the plank near the top, he would throw his weight forward, well, sideways really, but forward in the sense of forward across the river, bouncing on the cable and essentially hopping across the river. He'd go into town about once a year, usually trekking down the river to Gold Beach. He'd buy flour and coffee. For everything else, he was utterly self-reliant. To raise money, he trapped and shot animals, bear, wildcat, cougar, fox, and whatever else might make him some money. His yearly income was in the $50 to $100 range. Of course, he ate most of the animals he shot, so his diet was pretty rich in meat. In addition, he dug camas root, ground and leached acorn flour, and grew a few vegetables. He also had a homemade pipe in which he smoked laurel tree bark. It wasn't the lap of luxury, but it was a life, and Meyer must have enjoyed it because he always came back. Then came that incident at the Agnes Bridge. It was sometime later that the Fances moved in, right across the river from him. Meyer got along great with his new neighbors at first, but paranoid suspicions soon darkened his mind. As time went by, Meyer became increasingly convinced that Bob Fance was trying to get rid of him. He made only $27 in all of the 1933 trapping season because he was afraid to leave his shack. He'd convinced himself Fance was planning to sneak across the river and light it on fire while he was out. Something, he told himself, something had to be done. So one November day that year, he lurked along the trail with his ratty old .22 Winchester rimfire rifle. When Fance came into view, Meyer ordered him to stop. Meyer told authorities he'd planned to march Fance across the river, execute him, and bury his body there. But Fance wasn't having any of that. Instead, he wisely put the spurs to his horse and galloped away as fast as he could. It wasn't fast enough, though. Meyer shot him off his horse and left him there dead. When the horse returned without him, Fance's wife came and found him where he'd fallen. Because of his lung disease, she immediately assumed he'd died of a naturally occurring lung hemorrhage. It was only after the mortician discovered a bullet hole in his back that they figured out he'd actually been murdered. Meyer, convinced his shooting of Fance had been just, necessary, and morally defensible, hadn't taken any great pains to cover the crime up. Investigators found shell casings at the scene, along with his homemade pipe, which he'd left in his hiding spot. But when police came to his cabin to arrest him, they found it empty. Meyer, finally rid of his dreaded enemy, was making up for lost time on his trap line. He was gone for weeks, during which time everyone in the Agnes area took to packing pistols everywhere they went in case crazy Hugo should appear. When Meyer did return to his cabin, police were waiting, and he went with them cheerfully. The newspapers, when he was brought into Grants Pass for trial, called him the Hermit of the Craggies and the Old Man of the Mountains. Even after he was tried and convicted of first-degree murder, he remained convinced that the governor, as soon as he heard the story, would pardon him. But then, if he were pardoned, he'd have to go back to his life in the woods. It wasn't entirely clear that he wanted to do that. To go back to leaching ground acorns in the river to make a few pancakes to eat with his raccoon and camas root stew, all the time thinking longingly about the delicious food they served in the Josephine County Jail? That's right. Crazy Hugo loved the jail. It was like a spa resort compared with the crude life he'd left behind in his little riverside shack. Before being shipped off to the penitentiary at Salem in early 1934, he thanked the community for giving him the best Christmas of his life. So much delicious food, such a soft and comfortable bed, such refined bathing and toilet facilities. It would be hard to go back to eating acorns and squirrels and using thimbleberry leaves for toilet paper. But of course he didn't have to. Crazy Hugo spent the rest of his life in Salem, in the state pen. He died in 1961, and you can still see the remains of his shack across the river from the Fance Ranch. Both are now part of the Rogue River Wilderness Area. Key sources in this story have included works by John Hart, the Curry County Historical Society, and back archives of the Grants Pass Daily Courier. Also thanks to Mrs. Vivian Henderson for suggesting this topic. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Offbeat Oregon is a division of Pulplit Productions, pulp-lit.com, a boutique publishing house owned and operated by yours truly, specializing in audiobook and multimedia editions of the work of the classic pre-war pulp writers. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license type CC by SA 4.0, which basically means you can do anything with the content you like so long as you A, give me credit for it, and B, whatever you make is also released under a Creative Commons license. But if you need a waiver to either A or B, hit me up, fj@offbeatoregon.com. I've never said no yet to a request for a waiver of one of those conditions. They're generally there just to prevent me from accidentally authorizing the reuse of something I don't actually control the rights to. A good example might be a photograph used by special permission of the rights holder. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every single weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.